You're a busy provider trying to stay current with the latest HIV testing, prevention, and treatment guidelines, and your pockets are overflowing with note cards. You need a convenient, trustworthy source for HIV testing, treatment, prevention, and care protocols. All healthcare professionals have a role in stopping HIV. Introducing HIV Care Tools from the AIDS Education and Training Center program. The HIV Care Tools mobile app is simple, free, and fully functional offline or online. It features quick guides for HIV prevention, screening, testing, diagnosis, and treatment. HIV Care Tools provides common clinical calculators used in HIV management and provide validated screening tools for comorbidities such as depression, substance use disorders, and PTSD. And if you need clinician-to-clinician consultation, HIV Care Tools provides one-touch access to free clinical consultation services by a multidisciplinary team of experts. Take us with you. Download HIV Care Tools today.
Welcome to Nika in the Know, a podcast for healthcare providers in the HIV field. I'm Mariana Braitman. Today, I'm sitting down with Dr. Jonathan Shooter to talk about a new online course that he's developed in conjunction with the Nika AETC on smoking cessation in people with HIV. Dr. Shooter is professor in the departments of medicine and epidemiology and population health at Montefiore Medical Center, Albert Einstein College of Medicine. He's also the director of clinical research in the Montefiore Medical Center AIDS Center in the Bronx, New York. Welcome, Dr. Shooter.
Thanks, Mariana. Happy to be here.
So let's just dive right in. Tell listeners about the course. How did the idea for this first come about?
Well, you know, I think that the public health community and the HIV community has recognized over the past 1 to 2 decades of the increasing importance of tobacco use in this population. Tobacco use and cigarette smoking has emerged as probably the leading killer in people with HIV in the United States over the past 10 to 20 years. And there's a shocking lack of resources for providers who are looking how to manage the tobacco use in their populations and for the patients themselves. So a major reason for this course is to address that absence or near absence of resources.
Can you talk a little bit about the topics that the course covers?
Sure. After completing this course, learners should be able to receive an overview of the history of tobacco, understand the impact of smoking and tobacco use in people with HIV, review strategies for treating tobacco use and dependence in people with HIV, learn about various tobacco products, review harm reduction strategies for people with HIV who use tobacco products, and receive anti-smoking patient-facing and provider-facing resources for future smoking cessation efforts.
And how much does the course cost? Is it something that people will have to attend during specific times? How does it all work?
So the course is completely free, and we've taken great pride here in the fact that we've had no commercial interest in any of the products or resources that we've developed. Also, the course is completely asynchronous and self-paced. We all know how busy healthcare providers are, so this course allows users to complete the modules and lessons at their own pace and in their own time.
Why is smoking cessation important for HIV care providers and the HIV community?
So that's a great question. And, you know, I think that the course itself addresses and answers the question in a much more detailed way. But, you know, the simple answer is that tobacco use has emerged as a leading medical problem in this very high priority population. Now, I have been around and doing this work, taking care of people with HIV since the mid-1980s. And the reason I keep using the phrase that tobacco use has emerged, because in the beginning of the HIV epidemic, in the 1980s and in the 1990s, you know, tragically, patients weren't living long enough to suffer the consequences of their tobacco use. And as a result, I think that most providers, for better or for worse, mostly for worse, ignored tobacco use or treated it as an allowable vice in patients who were suffering from this really miserable disease and suffering from its comorbidities, and the fact that they were at risk for cancer down the road from their smoking. I won't call it an irrelevancy, but it wasn't high up on the list of healthcare priorities back then. So you know, when good antiretroviral therapy became available in the early 1990s, and then in the early 2000s, and it's gotten progressively better and better, and patients stopped dying from HIV-related complications and infections and neoplasms, it became quite evident that tobacco use was driving the things that were killing people with HIV, whether that is lung cancer or head and neck cancer or heart attacks or strokes. So that was recognized, and a fair amount of money has gone into researching what to do about it. But not enough has been done about actually creating resources that could help people on the ground. As you know, to actually conduct research and to get to, say, the behavioral and sociologic underpinnings of tobacco use in a given population, and then trying to remedy those things, those types of efforts are of incredible value. But that is a process that moves along very slowly. To actually do the research and identify what the drivers of tobacco use are, and then try out different strategies to address those drivers, and with the end hope of trying to reduce tobacco use and increase quit rates, is a very, very lengthy process. And if you want to be dogmatic about it, it could take decades to come up with evidence-based approaches to do what you're trying to do. And part of the reason that courses of this sort exist is that we have common sense approaches that are out there that are proven in other populations. Maybe there is some limited data in this population that we are concerned with, and just put it out there and try to help people now, rather than wait for decades, for years and decades for your truly evidence-based approaches.
How prevalent is smoking among people with HIV, and what features of smoking in people with HIV are distinctive?
So smoking is epidemic in people with HIV in the United States. It is a bit of a moving target, but probably as we speak here now, between 40% and 50% of people with HIV in the United States smoke. This differs in other countries, and some of our work here has been international, although I think that the course doesn't really address that. So clearly there are differences in smoking rates in among people with HIV in India and sub-Saharan Africa and Vietnam and Cambodia, and there is research going on in those areas. But in the United States, I think it's fair to use the statistic of 40 to 50%. Now, that is in sharp contrast to a rate of around 13% in the general adult population in the United States. So we are talking about somewhere around triple the rate of the general population. And in contrast to the general population in the United States, and also in many nations overseas, women with HIV seem to smoke at approximately the same rate as men, whereas in the general population, women smoke less. And certainly when you leave the United States and go to places like Africa and Asia, smoking among women, even with HIV, is almost unheard of. So that's kind of a bad public health situation for the women in the U.S., but among women, you're talking also about a rate of 40 to 50%, and same with men here. So that was the first part of the question. The second part of the question, what features of smoking in people with HIV are distinctive? That's a bit of a complicated question. So I think that In general, there is nothing specific about having the HIV virus that makes you stick a cigarette in your mouth and light it up. What makes the smoking population in the smoking population that is living with HIV distinctive is the various social and behavioral and psychiatric factors that smoking is entangled with at high rates in this population. So smoking is associated with poverty, and smoking is associated with depression, and smoking is associated with anxiety, and smoking is associated with stigmatization and perceived discrimination, and smoking is associated with gender minority status, and smoking is associated with many other substance uses. So all of these things are overrepresented in the population of people with HIV in the United States. That is not to say that everyone living with HIV in the United States is poverty-stricken or has psychiatric illness or uses other substances, just that these other factors are overrepresented and they are all entangled very tightly with tobacco use. And it does make addressing this problem more challenging because it is tough to quit. This is just an example I'm throwing out there, but it is tough to quit when you're on methadone maintenance and there are all kinds of interactions between tobacco use and methadone use, that pharmacological interactions that make it hard to quit, but also the fact you might be standing outside every day of your methadone maintenance clinic and everybody's smoking there. So there's social aspects to it also. And that is just one example, but you know, you can envision other examples. You know, if I'm very, very depressed and I just want to die, and a doctor is telling me, well, you're going to die of lung cancer if you keep smoking, well, that message doesn't resonate very well with someone who has really bad uncontrolled depression. So all of these factors are entangled very tightly and extensively with the tobacco use, and it makes treating tobacco use much more challenging in this population.
What resources are available for people with HIV who smoke and do want to quit?
Right. So sadly, very few that are specifically targeted for this population. Now, there are very good resources that are out there, and I encourage anyone listening to send your patients to use these, or if you are a person with HIV who smokes, please go ahead and use these free resources. So the number one resource is the free smoking quit line that is available nationally. There's a national phone number and there are state by state numbers, and it's very, very easy to access these things. They are very much underutilized. They hire and train very good people to offer counseling, to follow up with people. It is not only a hit and run thing. There might be several counseling sessions that are done in sequence. So that is a very good resource. There is no end of online quit smoking resources. Some of them are better than others. Some of them are just plain bad. Some of them are actually sponsored by big tobacco companies and should be avoided. But the biggies are smokefree.gov, that has just a really wide array of resources, and that is put out there by the NCI, the National Cancer Institute. Another great one is Become an X, BecomeAnEx, I want to spend a moment talking about. It is a product of Truth Initiative, which is a very large quit smoking organization based in Washington, D.C. And it is a terrific program. It is for free. It's been used by somewhere around 1 million users so far, and it includes an online social network. So you actually can get online support. You post comments, you get responses, and that is all great. And an additional reason that I mention them is that they are in the process of including and incorporating our Positively Smoke-Free materials into their website. So that is not done yet, but it will be done in the coming months. So there will actually be materials available on their website that speak to people with HIV. So those are just a smattering of the resources that are available. The VA has put together a nice package of material for providers and patients with HIV who smoke and those are available online. And I would be very much remiss if I failed to mention the pharmacotherapies that are available. Now, the coverage for these varies from state to state, but most states, it might be all states, cover under their Medicaid programs, at least some of them. So nicotine replacement therapy, that is the patch, lozenge, gum, inhaler, are quite effective. Varenicline, which is has a brand name of Chantix, but the generic name, varenicline, and is now available generically in the United States, is very effective. And bupropion, which is an antidepressant medicine, but also is quite effective at treating tobacco use, is probably a good agent to use in someone who is both depressed and has tobacco use. These are medicines that should accompany every quit attempt, pretty much. So providers should become familiar with them. We provide information about them in this course and you know, other resources that have information about them are very readily available, but they should be included in every quit attempt.
We will be sure to link to some of those online resources you mentioned in the episode description so that listeners can learn more. As we begin to wrap up, this all sounds really great. How can folks learn more about the new online course and sign up?
If folks want to learn more and sign up, they can go to www.necaaetc.org/rise-courses. There, they'll be able to register and they'll be guided through how to create an account on the RISE platform, where they'll be given access to this course and others from the NECA AETC.
Dr. Shooter, thanks so much for joining us and telling us about this new online course available for free to the public. We'll be sure to include a link to the course in our episode description as well so that listeners can learn more, so be sure to check that out. We really hope you learned something new today. To learn more about NECA AETC's work and our role in ending the HIV epidemic, visit us at www.necaaetc.org. That's www.necaaetc.org. If you have questions or comments about anything we covered today, or if you have suggestions for topics you'd like to hear us talk about, don't hesitate to email us at podcast@necaaetc.org. That's podcast@necaaetc.org. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time for our next episode of NECA in the Know. This presentation is supported by the Health Resources and Services Administration, HRSA, of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of, nor an endorsement by, HRSA, HHS, or the U.S. government.